or homo.
Wahi.
Riv.
Ben. Roh. Mikne. Abram. Yuvan. Ro. Mikne. Lot. Weha Kenani. Weha Perizi. Oz. Yoshev. Be'aretz. And became strife. What does this word bayin mean there, Brother Roger? You remember that? Sharon, you got that down. You don't remember what that one is, too. You remember that, Roger? Bayin. Bayin. It's got a literal meaning. You remember that, Sharon? Interval. An interval. A breathing space. And there was strife between the herdsmen, the shepherding people. The one shepherding, masculine, plural, cow, participle. Of cattle. What kind of cattle is this? Mikne. Mikne. What's that one? What's this cattle? Page 889 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. How about that one, Brother Roger?
Like sheep and goats and things like
that. Okay, this Mikne here, this is big cattle. All right, this is big cattle. And Abram. Of Abram. And between Yuvan, that's a conjunction on in front of it, Van. And between the herding people, the shepherding, the cowboys of the cattle, Mikne. All right, the same, the cattle. With Lot, what does Lot mean? You remember what Lot means, Sharon?
It was dark, was one of them hidden.
Hidden, secretive.
Yes.
Yeah, dark, hidden, and secretive. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then they were dwelling, Yashev. Yashev means dwelling, masculine, singular, cow participle, dwelling. Ba'aretz, Ba'aretz. Tell me about Ba'aretz, Brother Roger.
In dry land.
In the land. In the, actually in the plains and the prairies. Wayomer. Avram. El Lot. Al Nah. Tihi. Mirabah. Bene, Yuvanika, Yuvan, Roe, Yuvan, Roika, Ki, Anashim, Ahim, Anahinu. And he said and kept on saying, third person masculine, senior, cow, wild, consecutive, and perfect. See that? Are you getting this? What does that mean there, Brother Mike? You know? All right, wit on the front of that, Sharon.
It's the
and. That's a conjunction. That's an and. And that's page 253, if you want to write that down. I got to write it down in mine. And he said, third person masculine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect, he said and kept on saying, Avram. What's Avram mean? Roger? Avram?
Exalted Father.
Exalted Father. Okay, he's named not Abraham yet, Brother Steve. It's Avram right now still. Unto Lot. El Lot. Unto Lot. And then he says, Allah. Al-Nah. Al-Nah. All. All is a what, Brother Roger?
It's a
Nah
is adverb of negation.
Adverb of negation, page 39 and 40. All is also the word for God, isn't it? El. Okay. But right here, it means an adverb of negation, not, and then we have the word nah. Nah. What is nah?
Doesn't that mean please?
Please. I beg you. Please. I beg you. Let become, third person feminine, let her become, all right? It's what it means, third person feminine, singular, cow, jusive. What's a jusive mean, Brother Roger?
Choice.
A choice. This is what we have volitational. He said, you make your choice. Isn't this beautiful? Where's it coming from? Who's the choice going to come from? Lot's on what? His own volition. Okay? Let become, not let become strife, contention, warring, merabah. Bitterness is what that comes from. Bitterness. Merabah. This is the word Mary comes from this. Mary. Mara. between, a separation between, between me, vene, you, venicum, and between you, you, van, again. We are, look at how many ways he uses the word van. This what we call separation, an interval. And then my, roe. What's roe? Masculine plural cal participle. What about this word roe there, Sharon?
My dad's the shepherd. They call it. See, overlooking.
He's the overlooker. He's the one that watches. Okay? Jehovah roe. The one who watches over us. Who was the first person to ever use that term, Jehovah roe?
Hagar.
Hagar. All right? Because he was watching over her. She had no control over her destiny, did she? None whatsoever. She had no control over herself. And this was Pharaoh's daughter. Hagar is Pharaoh's daughter by a concubine, but is Pharaoh's daughter, and he gave her to Abraham as a political concession. Okay? Because Abraham, when you have children by this woman, my daughter, then your children and my children will be relatives, so we don't want to kill each other. That was the whole story. That's why he did this. And they did this many, many times in the Middle East. And between you, Van, Roika, and your people that watch over and hurting ones. Masculine, plural, cal participle. Key, because, Anashim means what, Brother Roger? Anashim.
A group of men.
Okay, a group of men. What's on the end of that?
A mem final.
Yeah, all right, which is plural. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Anashim, a group of men, brothers and relatives. We're all brothers and relatives. Akim, brothers and relatives. This would be like what? Adelphois. Anahinu, we are. Let's go on a little further. Halo, call, Haaretz, Lefanika, Hippared, Na, Miele, Im, no, in, that is, no, Im. Yeah, Im. It's M down there, but it's, you put down M instead. Hasimal, we imana, we am, Hayamin, we as, Mila. And not, look at that. The not is what it says here. The not. This is the definite article in front of the adverb. The not all, the land, haaretz, before your nose. All right? Isn't it all before your nose? When you look at something, your nose usually sticks out, and that's what you're talking about. Your nose, before your mouth, before your face. And then he says here, Hathared. What word does that come from? What's the word? What's the root of that word down there? Farad. Farad. And what is that? That means to divide. That means to split, to separate. Dividing and splitting and separate. Na, that means please, I beg you. From upon, look at that word, mi ale, me all. It comes from man and it comes from all. And it says, from upon me, if, now here we have a particle of like a conditional particle, okay? If, hasamal, if the left, we, you, mina, I will turn right. I shall turn right, and if the right, I will turn left. If the right, I will turn left. Now look and see what happens here. Wayisa, lot, et, ina, wayar, et, kal, kikar, hayarden, ki, kula, miske, lipne, shashit, Jehovah. We have Jehovah there, or Har the Bar. Et. Sidom. We et. Amara, Kegon, Hadavar. Kotretz, Mithraim, Bak, Bo'aka, that is, Sor. And he raised Lot, Eth. Eth is what? The sign of the direct object, Eth. That's got an E-T-H, by the way, if you want to put an H on the end of that. Yinah, Wayar. And he raised up his eyes, and he saw. Like that Wayar. Look at that word. That comes from to watch also. Roah. Et. Kol. Kikar. All the circuit. Look at this word, Kikar. What word do we have later on that comes from this word, Kikar? Galilee. Galilee means circle. Okay? Of the Jordan. Because of all of it, it's all watered. It's a watered place. Before destroying Jehovah, Hadavar, or Ho Logos in Greek, this equivalent. Et, Sodom, Weet, Amora, Kegon, Jehovah. The garden, like a garden, the Kegon. The word gone, that is the word for garden. The garden that God planted. Remember, what was the garden, Sharon?
Eden.
Huh? Eden? Yes. And what does that mean?
It's a pleasure garden.
Yes.
A garden, but it has all these delights.
All of the delicacies, like a palace garden. Like a palace garden. And then Ka'aretz, like the land of Egypt. Egypt was what? A watered land, a very, very irrigated land. You are going to Zoar. To Zoar. Okay. Now let's go back and let's read a little bit about this. We started in 13:7 through 10. Now let's go, and I want to read to you what we call an extra-biblical history of what's going on down here in this land right now. Okay. This is where Lot's going. Now, this is the book of Jasher. It is a history book. It is not an inspired book, but it is a history book. And the Bible, this is quoted in the Bible in Joshua 10:13, 2 Samuel 1:18, and 2 Timothy 3:8. The book of Jasher is quoted in the Bible. All right? So, we have evidence from the Bible that this book existed, don't we? All the way back to Samuel and Joshua. So, that's way back in it. So this is an old history book. Now let's just say what this history book says. It's not inspired, okay? The book's not inspired. But this is an extra-biblical history. Like what? Neander's history? I've got, I think, 6 or 7 volumes of Neander's. I've got John Lawrence von Mosheim's history of the ecclesiastical history of the Christian church. I've got... The Arco volume is another. The Arco volume is legal records from that period of time. Okay? That goes all the way back to Pontius Pilate's letter and a lot of other things. Herod's letters, both Herod's letters. And this is like that. So this is not inspired, but it tells us things and it fills in where the Bible doesn't say something. It tells you what happened there. The Bible says that Sodom was very wicked, doesn't it? Now let me read you a history of Sodom. This is what we might call a profane history. Not an ecclesiastical history, but a history of Sodom. In those days, now I'm on page 38 in this Jasher, and it's Jasher 18 and verse 11 is where I'm going to start reading. Now pay close attention to this. In all days, all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the whole 5 cities were exceeding wicked and sinful against the Lord. And they provoked the Lord with their abominations, and they strengthened in aging abominably and scornfully before the Lord. And their wickedness and crimes were in those days great before the Lord. And they had in their land very extensive valley, about a half day's walk. And in it were fountains of water and a great deal of herbage and surrounding water. This is what the Bible is just talking about in it. This is what Lot looked down and he saw all of this. And all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah went there four times in a year, and with their wives and children, all belonging to them, and they enjoyed there with timbrels and dances. And in the time of rejoicing, they would all rise and lay hold of the neighbors' wives and some of the virgin daughters of their neighbors, and they enjoyed them. This is what we have, like the hippie generation, okay, back in that time.
It's an orgy.
It's an orgy. They had a big orgy every year, okay? They rise and lay hold of the neighbor's wives and daughters and in the hands of his neighbor, and they did not say a word. They did not complain about this. And they did this so from morning till night, and afterward returned home, each man to his own house and each woman to her tent. So they always did four times a year. Okay? This is what's going on in this land now. Now we have a little extra biblical history. This is what is an abomination to God. Okay? And when a stranger came into their cities and brought goods, which he had purchased with a view to dispose of there, the people of the cities would assemble men and women and children, young and old, and go to the man and take his goods by force. They were thieves and robbers, giving a little to each man until there was an end to all the goods of the owner which he had brought into the land. And if the owner of the goods quarreled with them, saying, "What is this work which you have done to me?" They would approach him to him one by one, each of them show him the little which he took and taunt him, saying, "I only took that little which you did give me." And when he heard this from them all, he would rise and go from them in sorrow and bitterness of soul. And when they would all arise and go after him and drive him out of the city with a great noise and turmoil. This is a dangerous place to be in. Now, this just goes on. Okay? Now, it names the people that were there. It names names and names names that the Bible doesn't name. But we know that we have different writers in the Bible quoting this book. And there was a man from the country of Elam who was leisurely going on the road and seated upon his donkey, which carried a fine mantle of divers colors, and the mantle was bound with a cord upon the donkey. And a man was on his journey passing through the street of Sodom when the sun set in the evening, and he remained there in order to abide during the night. Now, usually they went into a city at nighttime because cities and these rest areas is what they were guarded in there. From the outlaws, Alibaba and his 40 thieves, you know. It didn't all start with Muhammad. These people have been that way forever, okay? But no one would let him into his house. At the time there was in Sodom a wicked and mischievous man, one skilled to do evil, and his name was Hedad. Hedad. The name is this guy. He was skilled in evil. And in Greek, what would be the word for that term? Poneria. Very wicked. Twisted man. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the traveler in the street of the city. And he came to him and said, "Whence do you come, and where are you going?" And the man said to him, "I'm traveling from Hebron to Elam." Now these places we know. "Where I belong, and I pass the sunset, and no one would allow me to enter into his house, though I had bread and water and straw and provender for my donkey, and I am short of nothing." And Hedad answered and said to him, "All that you shall want shall be supplied by me. But in the street you shall not abide all night." And Hedad brought him to his house, and he took off the mantle off of his donkey with a cord. It was tied on, like a cinch. And he gave the donkey straw and provender while the traveler ate and drank in Hedad's house, and he abode there that night. Now, according to Oriental custom of these people, they would keep somebody for how many days?
Three
days. In the morning, the traveler rose up early to continue his journey, and Hedad said to him, "Wait, comfort your heart with a morsel of bread, and then go." And the man did so, and he remained with him, and they both ate and drank together during the day when the man rose up to go. And Hedad said to him, "Oh, behold, now the day is declining, and you had better remain all night, that your heart may be comforted." And he pressed him so that he tarried there all night again. And on the second day he rose up early to go away, and he dad pressed him, saying, comfort your heart with a morsel of bread, and then go. And he remained and ate with him also the second day, and then Ammon rose up to continue his journey. Verse 26 now. This is 18:26, chapter 18, verse 26. And Hedad said to him, behold, now the day is declining. Remain with me and comfort your heart, and in the morning rise and go your way. And a man would not remain, but rose and saddled his donkey. While he was saddling his donkey, the wife of Hedad said to her husband, behold, this man has remained with us for 2 days, eating and drinking, and has given us nothing. And now shall he go away from us without giving us anything? And Hedad said to her, be quiet. This is a real event now. And have any of you ever heard this before at all? Okay, so this is new to you guys. I told you, have you heard this before?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember what happened. He robbed her.
Yeah. And the man saddled his donkey to go, and he asked Hedad to give him the cord and the mantle to tie upon it. And Hedad said to him, why do you ask this? And he said to him, that my Lord shall give to me the cord and the mantle with the colors, various colors, which you did conceal with you in your house to take care of it. And he'd answer the man saying, this is the interpretation of my dream. The cord which you did see means that your life will be lengthened out like a cord. And having seen the mantle covered with all sorts of colors means that you shall have a vineyard in which you shall plant trees and all fruits. And the traveler answered, saying, no, not my Lord, not so, my Lord, for I was awake when I gave you the cord, and also the mantle woven with different colors, which you did take off the donkey to put by them for me. And he that answered and said, surely I have told you the interpretation of your dream, and it's a good dream, and this is the interpretation thereof. Now the sons of the man gave me 4 pieces of silver, which is my charge for interpreting dreams. And of you, only I require 3 pieces of silver. Do you hear this con job? This is a confidence man. This is a bad boy. Okay? And the man was provoked at the words of Hedad, and he cried bitterly, and he brought Hedad to Zerach, judge of Sodom. Now, what was Lot? He's the judge in Sodom. This is where he aligned himself with these people. And the man laid his cause before Zerach, the judge, and Hedad replied, saying, it is not so, but thus the matter stands. And the judge said to the traveler, this man Hedad tells you the truth, for he is famed in the cities for the accuracy and interpretation of his dream. And the man cried at the word of the judge, and he said, not so, my lord, for it was in the day that I gave him the cord and the mantle which was upon the donkey, in order to put them by in his house. And they both disputed before the judge, and the one saying, thus the matter was, and the other declaring otherwise. And Hedad said to the man, give me 4 pieces of silver that I charge for my interpretation of the dreams, and I will not make allowance, and give me the expense of the 4 meals that you did eat in my house. And the man said to Hedad, truly I will pay you for what I ate in your house. Only give me my saddle and my cinch. That's what he's after, which you concealed in your house. And Hedad replied before the judge and said to the man, did I not tell you the interpretation of your dream? The cord means that your day shall be prolonged like a cord, and the mantle that you will have a vineyard in which you will plant all kinds of fruit trees. And this is the proper interpretation of your dream. Now give me the 4 pieces of silver, and I require as a compensation, for I will make you no allowance. And a man cried at the words of Hedad, and they both quarreled before the judge, and the judge gave orders to his servants, who drove them rashly from the house. And they went away quarreling from the judge, and when the people of Sodom heard them, they gathered about them, and they exclaimed against the stranger, and they drove him rashly from the city. And the man continued on his journey upon his donkey with bitterness of soul and lamenting and weeping. And while he was going along, he wept at what happened to him in the corrupt city of Sodom. Who was corrupt in that city? The inhabitants and the judges. And the cities of Sodom had 4 judges in 4 cities. These were the names: Zedarak in the city of Sodom, Sharkad in Gomorrah, Zabnak in Admah, and Menon in Zeboim. And Eliezer, Abraham's servant, applied to them. Who's this now? Now we get involved with Abraham. Okay? And Eliezer, Abraham's servant. Now this was going to be Abraham's, what we call, this was his heir before he had Isaac or Hagar. You know, with Hagar he had Ishmael. Eliezer, Abraham's servant, applied to them different names, and he converted Zerach to Shakra, and Sharkad to Shakura, and Zibnak to Kezabim, and Menon to Mazlodim. And by desire of the four judges, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had beds erected in the streets. Here we go another thing. In the streets and in the cities. And if a man came to these places, they laid hold of him and brought him to one of their beds, and they forced him to lie down on these beds. This is a historical record of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as he lay down, three men would stand at his head and three men at his feet and measure him by the length of the bed. And if the man was less than the bed, these six men would stretch him out at each end. And he cried out to them, and they would not answer him. What were they doing to him? Torturing him. And he was longer than the bed. They would draw together the sides of the bed at each end until the man reached the gates of death. This is a torture bed. And if he continued to cry out to them, they would answer him, saying, "Thus shall it be done to a man who comes into our land." And when the men heard all these things, that the people of the cities of Sodom, that they refrained from coming there. People were afraid to come to this wicked place. And when a poor man came into the land, they would give him silver and gold and cause a proclamation to the whole city not to give him a morsel of bread to eat. And if the stranger should remain there some days and die from hunger, not having been able to obtain a morsel of bread, then at his death all the people of the city would come and take their silver and gold which they had given to him. And those that could recognize the silver or gold which they had given to him took it back. Now remember, back then, this is what we call personal coinage. What's personal coinage? This is where you get silver bars and you put your stamp on it and you just chop it off. Back in these days, they didn't have a 25-cent piece and a 50-cent piece and a dollar and things like that. They just took and they weighed it off and chopped it off. And they say, I chopped that. There's my initials on that one. So this is what we call personal coinage. Have you ever heard of this before? Okay. Which they had given him and took it back. And at his death, they also stripped him of his garments. And they would fight about them. And they prevailed over his neighbor and took them. This is a bunch of wolves, hyenas. And they went after, they carried him, and they'd bury him under some of the shrubs in the street, in the deserts. So they did not all the days to anyone that came to them, and he died in their land. He killed everybody that came there. And in the course of times, Sarah sent Eliezer to Sodom to see Lot and inquire after his welfare. That's where he went. And Eliezer went to Sodom, and he met a man of Sodom fighting with a stranger. And the man of Sodom stripped the poor man of all his clothes and went away. And this poor man cried to Eliezer and supplication his favor on account of what the man of Sodom had done to him. And he said to him, "Why did you act thus to the poor man who came into your land?" And the man of Sodom answered Eliezer, saying, "Is this man your brother? And have the people of Sodom made you a judge this day that you could speak against us?" Remember, Lot's here. And Eliezer strove with the man of Sodom on account of the poor man. And when Eliezer approached to recover the poor man's clothes from the man of Sodom, he hastened and with a stone smote Eliezer in the forehead. And the blood flowed copiously from Eliezer's forehead. And when the man saw the blood, he caught hold of Eliezer, saying, "Give me my hire for having rid thee of this bad blood." Boy, these are cons, aren't they? "That is in your forehead, for such is the custom of the law in our land." And Eliezer said to him, "You have wounded me, and request me to pay you for hire? But Eliezer would not hearken to the words of the man of Sodom. And a man laid hold of Eliezer and brought him to Shakra, the judge of Sodom, for judgment. And a man spoke to the judge, saying, I beseech you, my lord, my judge, thus has this man done, for I smote him with a stone, that the blood flowed from his forehead, and he is unwilling to give me my hire. And the judge said to Eliezer, this man speaks truth to you. Give him his hire, for this is the custom of our land. And Eliezer heard the words of the judge, and he lifted up a stone and smote the judge. And he struck on his forehead, and the blood flowed copious from the forehead of the judge. And Eliezer said, if this then is the custom of your land, give me my hire. Eliezer's a pretty good old boy, isn't he? For this is your decision. Now decree it. Stand by your decision. Then Eliezer left the man of Sodom with the judge, and he went away. And when the kings of Eliezer made war with the kings of Sodom, the kings of Elam captured all the property of Sodom. They took Lot captive. Now we know about that. And they took Lot captive and his property. And when he was told to Abraham, he went and made war with the kings of Elam. We hear about this in the Bible, don't we? This is a little bit more about it. And he recovered from their hands all the property of Lot, as well as the property of Sodom. At the time, the wife of Lot bare him a daughter, and he called her name Palithith. 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 It's got her name. Saying, because God has delivered him and his whole household from the kings of Elam, and Palithith, the daughter of Lot, grew up, and one of the men of Sodom took her for a wife. And a poor man came into the city to seek maintenance. And he remained in the city some days, and all the people of Sodom caused a proclamation of their custom not to give this man a morsel of bread to eat until he dropped dead upon the earth, and they did so. And Palteth, the daughter of Lot, saw this man lying in the street, starved with hunger, and no one would give him anything to keep him alive, and was just upon the point of death. And her soul was filled with pity on account of the man, and she fed him secretly with bread for many days, and his soul of this man revived. For when she went forth to fetch water, she would put the bread in the water pitcher, and when she came to the place where the poor man was, she took the bread from the pitcher and gave it to him to eat. So she did many days. And all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah wondered how this man could bear starvation for so many days. And they said to each other, this can only be he who eats and drinks, for no man can bear starvation for so many days and live as this man has, without even his countenance changing. And the three men concealed themselves in the place where the poor man was stationed to know who it was that brought him bread to eat. And Palteth, the daughter of Lot, went forth that day to fetch water, and she put bread in her pitcher in the water, and she went to draw water by the poor man's place, and she took out the bread from the pitcher and gave it to the poor man, and he ate it. And the three men saw Palteth did to the poor man, and they said to her, It is you who has supported him, and therefore he has not starved, nor changed in appearance, nor died like the rest. And the three men went out from the place in which they were concealed, and they seized Palteth and the bread which was in the poor man's hand. And they took Palteth and brought her before their judges. And they said to them, thus did she do, and it is she who supplied the poor man with bread. Therefore did he not die all this time. Now therefore declare to us the punishment due to this woman for having transgressed our law. And the people of Sodom and Gomorrah assembled and kindled a fire in the street of the city. And they took the woman and cast her into the fire, and she was burned to ashes. They burned her alive. And in the city, Admah, there was a woman to whom they did the like. For a traveler came into the city of Admah, for to bide there all night, and with the intention of going home in the morning, and he sat opposite the door of the house of the young man's father to remain there as the sun had set when he had reached that place, and the young woman saw him sitting by the door of the house. And he asked for a drink of water, and she said to him, who are you? And he said to her, I was this day going on the road and reached here when the sun set, so I will abide here all night. In the morning I will rise early and continue my journey. And the young woman went into the house and fetched the man bread and water to eat and to drink. And this affair became known as the people of Admah, And they assembled and brought the young woman before the judges, and they should judge her for this act. Everything's opposite of what every place else is granted for customs to be courteous. And the judge said, the judgment of death must pass upon the woman because she transgressed our law, and thus, therefore, is the decision concerning her. And the people of these cities assembled and brought out the young woman and anointed her with honey from head to foot. And as the judge had decreed, they placed her before a swarm of bees, which were then in their hives. And the bees flew upon her and stung her with all their hope. All of her whole body was swelled. And the young woman cried out on account of the bees, but no one took notice of her or pitied her, and her cries ascended to heaven. This is what God was very upset with. Now, Paul read this book. We know Abraham read this book. We know that later on people read all of this. Yes?
Who wrote the book?
Jasher. Okay. It's Hostafer. Yeah, sure. That's the name of the book.
Did he live there?
He lived during this period of time. I don't remember where he lived. He lived during this period of time. He lived all through this. We find him writing down. This is a history book. He's a scribe. Hossefer means the scribe Jasher. He's just a scribe. He's a historian. That's all he is.
He was able to gain knowledge from other people.
Yeah. From personal and from other people of that time. He names down the names of all this. Otherwise, we wouldn't have known who this Paul Teeth was. We wouldn't have known who Jannes and Jambres were, would we? Who's Jannes and Jambres? Balaam's sons that stood against Moses in Egypt. And Paul quotes him in 2 Timothy. He quotes Jasher. Okay? And the Lord was provoked at this, and all the works of the cities of Sodom, for they had abundance of food, and had tranquility amongst them, and still they would not sustain the poor and the needy, and those days their evil doings and sins became great before the Lord. And the Lord sent two of the angels that had come to Abraham's house to destroy Sodom and its cities. And the angels rose up from the door of Abraham's tent after they had eaten and drunk. And they reached. What did they eat there? What they ate at Abraham's? What kind of dinner did he give to them? I ate one of those in Damascus, Syria. He killed a goat and braised that. And he had camel yogurt. Gravy with it. That's what they had. Curds and the calf. All right? Curds and the fatted calf. And they reached Sodom in the evening, and Lot was there sitting at the gate of Sodom, and he saw them. He's sitting at the gate of Sodom. What's he doing there, Sharon?
He's a judge.
He's one of these guys that's passing judgment on all these poor people coming in here. And he rose to meet him, bowed down to the ground, and he pressed them greatly and brought them into his house. And he gave them dinner, victuals, which they ate, and they abode all night in his house. And the angel said to Lot, arise and go forth from this place and all the belonging to you, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city, for the Lord will destroy the place. Now, what happened that night, according to the Bible? The people went there trying to have sex with the angels. And he tried to give them his daughters. And again, God blinded them. Okay, so that's what's going on. We see all of this in between. And the angels laid hold upon Lot and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hands of his children. And all belonged to him, and they brought him forth and set him without the cities. And they said to Lot, escape for your life. And he fled, all belonging to him. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, all these cities, brimstone and fire from the Lord of heaven. And he overthrew these cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the land. And Ado, write this down, Ado, the wife of Lot, his wife's name was Ado. Okay? It gives the name of Lot's wife. And Ado, the wife of Lot, looked back to see the destruction of the cities, for her compassion was moved on account of her daughters who remained in Sodom. Some of them didn't go. For they did not go with her. And when she looked back, she became a pillar of salt, as is yet in the place unto this day. And the oxen which stood in the place daily licked up the salt to the extremities of their feet. And in the morning it would be sprang fresh, forth fresh, and they again licked it up until this day. And Lot and his two daughters that remained to him fled to escape to the cave of Adullam. And they remained there for some time. And Abraham rose up early in the morning to see what had done to the cities of Sodom. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the cities going up like the smoke of a furnace. And Lot and his two daughters remained in the cave, and they made their father drink wine, and they lay with him. For they said that there was no man upon earth that they could raise up seed from them, for they thought that the whole earth was destroyed. And they both lay with their father, and they conceived and bare sons, and the first is called Water from the Father, which is Moab. And from my father, saying, from my father I did conceive, and he is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger also called her son Ben-Ammi, and he is the father of children of Ammon unto this day, and that means son of my people. In other words, this is inbred. I'm inbred. Unto this day. And after this, Lot and his two daughters went away from there, and he dwelt in the other side of the Jordan, and his two daughters and their sons, and the sons of Lot grew up, and they went and took themselves wives from the land of Canaan, and they begat children, and they multiplied, and were fruitful and multiplied. Well, there you are. That's a little extra biblical history. What?
I bought that book, and I read a good part of it, and then I got tired of it. I gave it to Bill. I read that part about that.
Yeah, that's Sodom. Now, there's a lot of extra biblical information in here. It's not inspired. It's a not inspired book. But it tells a lot of evidence in there. What was Lot's wife's name? Ado. Okay. What? It tells you what Noah's wife's name was. Naaman. All right. It tells you a lot of the names of the wives and how old they were. It tells you how old Moses' mother was. Which was his what? Moses' mother was his mother, but she was also what? She was double related to him. His aunt. She was his mother and his aunt. Do you have any questions so far?
Well, Jim, you said it's not inspired, but it doesn't mean it's not true.
No, the Bible quotes it three times. Okay, the Bible is quoted in the Bible three times.
Pretty good history book.
It's a history book. And the Jews looked upon it as a history book. This book was also at the Essenes. This was also at the Dead Sea. This book. This is one of the books that Israel had. Do you want to have another? You want to have one more or a couple more verses while we're here?
Sure.
Okay. 13 and verse 11. Why Yibahar? Lo. Lo. Et. Call. Kikar. Hi Yarden, Wayisa, Lot, Mikadim, Wayip Paridu, Ish, Miel, Achi. Now let's look at this. Wayib Bahar. Look at this. And he picked for himself, he chose for himself, third person, masculine, senior, cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect, Lot. All the circuits, all Kikar, all the circuit of the Jordan. What does Jordan mean? Descending. Descending. Where did it descend from? Where did Jordan descend from?
From Dan.
Huh?
Up in Dan.
Way up there. And it went down into Galilee, and then it goes from Galilee, and it goes all the way down to what?
Dead Sea.
The Dead Sea, and it's all descending. And you can fly an airplane in the Jordan Rift all under sea level. All of that's below sea level. And what caused the Dead Sea to be the Dead Sea? What caused the Dead Sea to be the Dead Sea?
It doesn't have an outlet.
It doesn't have an outlet, but what else? Of course, that's where Lot's wife became a pillar of salt also. But what else?
The problem with the brimstone?
That's part of it, but what about the Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt? Okay, and that's on the shores of the Dead Sea. What else?
Because it's Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know.
No. Physical science. What? We just said that the Sea of Galilee is under sea level, didn't we? So what's the sea near there? The Mediterranean. So it's under sea level. Now, were there salt springs in the bottom of the Sea of Galilee.
Yes.
All right. And for thousands of years, this salt goes down there and settles where no outlet is, and it becomes saltier and saltier and saltier and saltier because it's pretty hot down there. Evaporation, transpiration. And so all this takes place. So what ends up there? We have a lot of salts and minerals in that area because of Sodom and Gomorrah and because of this physical scientific fact that that water went down there. And when Israel got control of the Sea of Galilee, you know what one of the first things they did? They went down with divers in the bottom of the Sea of Galilee and stopped up those salt springs. So the water is pure enough for irrigation. Okay? The Jordan descending. And pulled up and pulled out tent stakes, Lot, from eastward, Mikadim. What's the front? That front means what? The front. Eastward means the front. The place of the rising of the sun. And he separated. And they separated, that is, third person masculine plural nephel, wow, consecutive and perfect. Each man, or each one, from upon his brother. So all these relatives split. The good guys want one place and the bad guys want the other. Okay? It doesn't say anything else about all of these relatives of Lot, does it? And all of his servants. What in the world happened to them? And he had, and the book of Jasher says that some of his daughters wouldn't come. Only two daughters left. And these two daughters were engaged. There's his future son-in-law wouldn't even come. What a deal.
Sin for a season, fun for a season.
What?
Sin for a season,
yeah.
Fun for a season.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what kind of guy Lot was, but he sure wasn't anything like Abram. But he was saved, wasn't he? The Bible says he was saved. All right. Abram. Yashab, Beidrits, Kenan, Wilot, Yasav, Beari, Hakikar, Wayakal, Ad Sedom. And Abram, he had settled inland of Canaan. What's Canaan mean there, Steve? You remember what the word Canaan means? What's it mean there, Roger? Come on.
Isn't it possession?
Possession. Gotten, acquired, or possession. Okay? And this all goes all the way down. You know, the eldest son of Adam was what? Cain, or Canaan. And Lot. He had settled, is what it says here. He had settled. It's third person masculine singular, cow perfect. In cities. Look at that. Be'eri. In cities. Now, what does the word city mean? Er. What's that word er mean, Brother Roger? You remember?
Like a fortified area.
A fortified area. Something that had watchtowers. Okay, that means watchtowers. The circuit. And he traveled. And he drove stakes and pulled up stakes. He lived in a tent. That's what it says. As far as Sodom, odd, as far as Sodom. 13:13 now.
Question.
Yes.
But when he was in Sodom, he had a house in Sodom, it sounds like.
Yes, he did. He had a house in Sodom because the Bible says he had a house in Sodom. But now, right now, he's got sheep and camels and goats and maybe an elephant. I don't know what all they had. They had a lot of these animals. But something happens to them. Between the time Lot became a judge and no longer a shepherd. He changed occupations, didn't he? Wianshi. Sidon. Riam. Riaim. Wiha Taim. Hadavar. Li Hadavar. Miod. And the men of Sodom. Ra'im. Look at that word, Ra'im there. Ra'im. That means wicked. Wicked. That means wicked's plural. They were evils. Evil guys. and we ha ta'im, and sinners against who? Against Jehovah. Le is a preposition against Jehovah. Against Jehovah. Exceedingly, intensely, meo. 13:14. We hadavar, amar el avram, ashare, hipared, lot, me emo, sa, na, inika, uriah, men, hamakom, asher, ata, shem, satona, wa negba, wa kidma, wa yama. And Jehovah are we hadavar. And Jehovah, he had said unto Abram, after separating himself, to separate himself, Lot, from him, lift up, raise up now your eyes, and look from the place where you are, there, to north, Safana, to north, that's up, and south, that's down, and east and west, front and back. Key, 13:15, key, et, call, haaretz, asher, ata, roe, lika, eta, nina, Yulizarka, ad olam. Because all the land which you seeing, masculine, seen, or cow participle, seeing to you, I shall keep on giving. Look at that. Look at this. Conjugate that for me, Brother Roger. Conjugate that.
Which one?
Okay. Etanena.
Oh, okay. First person conditional.
First person construct singular.
Cal
imperfect. I shall keep on giving. I will be the process of giving to this you. How long is this going to happen? Is God still going to do it today? When is it really going to happen?
In the kingdom time.
In the millennial reign, they're going to have it. Not until. The millennial reign, they're going to have it. The Antichrist is not going to give it to them, even though the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with them. All right? Not going to give it to them. For 3.5 years, they're going to be sitting pretty, but all of a sudden something happens. Calamity. And they realize the Messiah that they have crucified was not their enemy, but their king. And they cry unto him.
Is the mark of the beast early in that first 3.5 years of peace?
The mark of the beast comes
early
during this period of time.
It's
real, real terrible in the last. We have the tribulation and tribulation
and
the terrible.
Messed up in the last.
Yeah. All during that period of time. Now, there's
first
a lot
3.5 is when people are hiding. Christians are hiding out and trying to find ways to survive and being hunted.
Yes.
And the peaceful people are the ones that get the mark of the beast.
The
second half, everybody's suffering. Right?
I shall keep on giving to you or your seed, Yule Zaraka, until forever, until eternity. Olam, eternity. Aistonion. So we started at 12:15, was it? No, 13. 13:7? 7-15. All right. Let's just go look at this for just a moment that you brought this up. We have all the different views of the end times, what we call eschatology. Was it this evening we talked about that, or this morning? This evening we talked about the end times. When are the end times, Brother Mike? When are the end times?
I forgot, but I thought it was the end of the church age, but you say it's the end of the...
It's during the tribulation period. That's when their daughters and sons will see visions and all this thing will happen. Why? Right now, the church is the administrator of the kingdom. But during that period of time, the church is gone, and the Holy Spirit as a comforter is gone, but the Holy Spirit as a convictor of sin, righteousness, and judgment is still there. What happens right after the rapture? I believe the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation period. Right at the beginning of it, okay? That's what I believe. And I have a lot of reasons to believe this. One of them I just stated to you. The miracles that happen during this time. Who are going to be preaching the gospel? Who's going to be preaching the gospel here?
144,000 Jews.
144,000 Jews after this period of time. But who's going to do it before this period of time? There are angels flying through heaven. Okay, so now the church is not preaching the gospel, is it? Angels flying through heaven preach the gospel. Who else is going to preach the gospel? Who else is going to preach the gospel?
People that become saved after the rapture.
Who else is going to preach the gospel, Sharon?
Well, isn't it going to be that they're going to have the records we leave behind?
The two witnesses.
The two witnesses. Whoever they are. Two witnesses are going to preach the gospel. And they're going to be killed, aren't they? And they're going to lay dead for how long?
3 days.
3 days. And then God's going to raise them back up again. And the Antichrist is going to kill them. The Antichrist is going to kill a lot of people. And what is the form of death?
Beheading.
Beheading. All right. Now, we have the Jehovah Witnesses said they're going to go through here. They want to get into the kingdom. They've got to go through this. They're going to hide out. That's why these buildings don't have any windows in them and everything. They're all, you know, they're ready to hide out for this 7 years. The Mormons have got, they believe that they're going to bring America back to the Constitution. And that they have 7 years of money and food all supplied. Every good Mormon is supposed to do this, you know. Because they think they're going to go through this too. But their kingdom they're going to bring in is by the Mormon church. And then the Seventh-day Adventists. They're the only ones that are worshiping God on the right day. Everybody else is taking the mark of the beast, which is what? Worshiping God on Sunday. All right, that's the story. Okay? And then we have what? We have Islam. And of course the Catholic Church, they were going to bring in the kingdom. They're going to conquer the world, bring in the kingdom. Well, what is Islam? Where did they get their ideas? Where did Muhammad get his ideas from? The Catholic Church. So what is he going to do? He's going to declare, he already has declared jihad on the whole world. We're all at war with Islam, whether we like it or not. We are at war with Islam. And what's Islam's idea? What's Islam believe? What is Islam's eschatology in the Hadith, the Sunnah, and the Quran? What does the Quran say about?
Submit to Allah and there'll be peace in your life.
What's it say? Who's coming? According to Islam, who's coming?
The Mahdi.
The Mahdi. According to the Bible, who's coming? The Antichrist. According to the Bible, there will be a person called the Beast that will stand with the Antichrist, and there will be a false prophet that will stand with the Antichrist. Now, according to Islam, there's the Mahdi, the Imam Mahdi, the 12th Imam, and the final Mahdi. And the Mahdi means what? You remember what that one means? The Mahdi? Huh?
He's a descendant of Muhammad, and he's reincarnated.
He's going to be a descendant of Muhammad through his daughter. All right, he's going to be a direct descendant, and he's going to have the reincarnated spirit of Muhammad in him. He's going to look like him, and everything. He's going to look just like Muhammad, and he's going to come out of where? Out of Syria, an area in Syria. And where is the beast going to come from? The beast is going to come out of Saudi Arabia near Mecca. And then we have another person, another prophet arising out of Islam. And who is that?
Jesus.
Isa or Jesus. And he will come out. Now, the Mahdi will be a reluctant leader. How old will he be when he becomes the 40 years old? The same thing as Muhammad. This is Muhammad's life all over again. And he will be a reluctant leader, and they will swear allegiance to him, and he will go forth doing what? Conquering. to bring everybody under the caliph. Under the caliph, again, the last caliph. And he will, how long will he reign?
7 years,
according to the Quran and the Hadith. How long will the Antichrist reign? 7 years. That's according to the Bible. All right? And according to the Bible, what will this beast do? What's he going to do to these people? He's going to mark all of the true believers of Islam with the name and the profession of faith of Islam, which is what, Brother Steve? What's the profession of faith of Islam? Huh? What's their profession of faith, Brother Roger? There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His prophet. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger or His prophet. And that is an absolute blasphemy to God of the Bible. Okay? That's what they believe. This is how they're going to be marked. They're going to be marked with His authority or His name. All right? And who's going to mark them? The beast. Who's going to mark them in the book of Revelation? With the name of, or the authority of, the Antichrist. Do you see how this fits together? And then Jesus is going to come back and do what? According to the Bible. He's going to come back and save Israel. He's going to rapture His church and all the saints, and He's going to save Israel in the middle of the tribulation period, and He's going to use natural wonders to defend them, and finally at the end, He will bring in His kingdom and set up His glorious kingdom for 1,000 years. Now, what is Jesus of Islam going to do? What's His first purpose? Kill all the Jews. This is the purpose of Jesus. He's going to kill all the Jews, and then He's going to do what? He's going to kill all the Christians and break all religions, break the cross, and kill all religions, put them down, and there will be no more jizya. There will be peace. He will bring in peace. And how long is He going to reign? According to the Hadith, the Sunnahs, and the Quran. How long Jesus, this Isa of them? 40 years. 40 years. So there you have these combined eschatological views. All right. There, do with whatever you wish. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. Okay, I believe the Bible.